He's a wide receiver too.
All right, let's get started.
I'm trying. And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey!
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hi, guys.
At DFF underscore Shane. And we have a returning guest tonight who actually just tweeted to FF follow DFF underscore Madman. We have Jordan McNamara. Jordan McNamara.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, Jeremy was talking too. At McNamaraDynasty.com. Welcome, Jordan.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Wait, is that your handle? At McNamaraDynasty.com?
No, at McNamara Dynasty.
Oh, wait a second.
So
hold on.
Because he's old. He's very confused by all this.
You have your own website now.
I screwed it up because Jeremy was talking over him and he talked over him. All right. So
All this my book is confusing.
Yeah. But you got to remember, Michael Sipes here, he likes soap operas, man. So anytime he's got a chance to dress up anything that's even slightly dramatic, he's going to do it, even though there's like nothing there. He loves it.
First of all,
he's just a TV producer.
First of all, there's nothing wrong with soap operas. And second of all, I don't even remember MySpace. But yes, it's McNamara Dynasty on Twitter. Welcome, Jordan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You can't even get through like a just normal like intro without just complete breakdown in social things.
The best part is people would redo that, but we're not going to. Go ahead.
Nah, Jordan, well, we should. Good editing would dictate that we do. But
I'll edit
Jordan,
it.
Jordan is our first repeat customer. I don't know that that means we like him better than other people. I understand that that's how it's going to look. And that if that's how our other guests want to take it, that's on them. But we do greatly like Jordan.
Yes. And also when we had Jordan on back in August, we mentioned to him that we'd have him back near the end of the season so that we could talk about his project now that we're wrapping up the year.
Yeah, it's coming along slowly but surely. It's going to be a weekend of writing probably later in the weekend when I'm done with you guys and then into the weekend. But yeah, analyticsofdynasty.com is my website. And I'm releasing a dynasty strategy book called The Analytics of Dynasty. It'll be out in January, later part of January. It has 10 years worth of historical data in it that basically forms the basis of a whole bunch of research on players, types of players to invest in, types of players to avoid, how to be a lot more efficient in your drafts. I'm working on a lot of my warp data right now, which is wins above over replacement, looking at how really player value interacts. And I found a lot of things I think that are counter popular narratives in dynasty fantasy football. So I think it'll be really helpful to people that order it. I know I've had a bunch of strategy sessions with folks already that ordered it, and I think it's helped some of them along the way this year. So I've heard some good things from some of the folks that have ordered it. So, and Shane, I actually put it into effect, I basically drafted totally on our research in our league that we're in together, and I made the playoffs in a year one thing where I just traded out of everything and traded down and rostered about 26 running backs. And I made the playoffs in year one. It's 7-6. It's not going to be a contender, but everyone was like, oh, you're punting year one. And I was like, just watch, I'm going to burn up the efficiency. And so it's kind of what happened. So it was a successful case study, if you will.
I am not in the playoffs in that league. Saw that early. And also didn't look at the quarterback scoring because there was one week where Cam Newton gave me negative points. And I said, oh, what is this? This is not good. And I was advised, oh, we lose points for sacks. And I said, I did not take that into account. Clearly, I didn't read these rules. And what's the first rule everyone tells you? Make sure you understand the league scoring.
Yeah, and that's part of what with all those leagues, they'd all get thrown together last year. I know we jumped into a lot of them.
Real quick on Jordan's book, I don't know if it's a good time to ask him because I forgot to before. I don't know if I told him that we had chosen a winner, then realized that the winner had already purchased his book.
Yeah.
And then we chose another one.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, we gave away the one that Shane bought, and the person that won it had already bought it. And so he offered it to us to give it away again. So we gave it away to one of our Patreons last week.
Yeah, you guys gave me the information for him. So we've reached out, and we'll be chatting pretty soon.
Terrific. I don't know. I don't think I heard you say it, but what's the release date? What are you looking at to have the project out?
It's going to be the sometime in the end of January. I still have a couple things I want to write in terms of I got some late data that I didn't really expect to get that I got, and it's been pretty useful. So I am going to release it. So I'm still working on a couple of things, a couple small projects with that data. And then I'm going to write sort of a overview of the 2018 season, because my data basically focuses between 2008 and 2017, and then I'll sort of look at the 2018 season, see how it sort of fits, and if there were any outliers or anything like that, you know, sort of looking forward on the season that we just had. So it'll come out at the end of January. I don't have a specific date yet, but it'll come out at the end of January. And if you're pre-ordered, you'll get it instantly, and then I'll probably come out with an announcement the day or two later that it's actually out and officially able to order. So you get a couple days of it without people knowing.
So that's – and I pre-ordered it, so I'm going to be reading through that really quick and then sending out a bunch of trade offers, and people are going to be like, oh, shit, Shane read something.
Yeah, Shane is pretty good at when he hears something, he goes after it. Is this going to be something that you're going to do every year, or is it something that's a one-shot deal, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I haven't, people have asked me that. It's going to be an evergreen thing. I don't know really what the next step in the project, the next step in the process is. I have a couple ideas. I'm working on a couple of projects basically after this. It's meant to be an evergreen thing where, you know, you can use it and apply all the principles from it on a year-to-year basis. It's not specifically about like the 2019 season or anything like that. It might warrant some revisions in the future, but it's something that if you buy it now, you can use it, I think, going forward, and not just for the 2019 season.
Terrific. Well, thanks for coming in today, and you're going to sit in with us for the whole show.
Oh yeah, I'm down.
All right, great.
Let's do this.
Shane, I know you put this on the sheet, and it's the first thing that everybody wants to talk about, especially after last night, was Derrick Henry destroying everybody on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, we're literally the first podcast to discuss this that I've listened to. so that might not be true. so fun fact, I don't know if any of you three, but I actually got to play Derrick Henry in a playoff game last night.
Oh, you started him?
No. I went against him.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't, you know, obviously I didn't realize it until someone asked me my opinion of Derrick Henry in the DM chat. Like, oh, Shane, what do you think of Derrick Henry? Says, fuck me. Went right to the scoreboard. I said, this son of a bitch has got two touchdowns, including that 99-yarder. How much worse can it get? Well, Derrick Henry went on to drop 47.8 points last night. entering the game, he was the RB47, 8 points a game. He's now the running back 35 with 11.2 fantasy points per game. And that's in average scoring. And in overall scoring, he entered as the RB40 with 97.2 points. He's now the RB21 I didn't put that on there. But whatever 97.2 plus 47.8 is. That's what he's at, and he moved up 19 spots in the overall scoring in one game, which obviously
Deion Lewis.
Yeah, no one's played Sunday, but it's still an incredible jump. And what's going to be great is at the end of the year, people are going to look back. They're going to look at his totals and go, well, he's an RB2, or he'll probably end up as a low-end RB2. Or if he has one more good game, either way, he'll finish as an RB2. And people will be fooled and confused and think that he is actually good this year when he's actually been dog shit all season, except for last night when he did tie an NFL record with a 99-yard run where he just basically mean mugged 74 guys on the way to the end zone, and he took their manhood on the way. Just there were some great stiff arms where he just – you could see their souls actually dying while he was stiff-arming them.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. What the first thing I did was click on his name, and on MFL, you can look at how many people in your leagues either started him or benched him. And half the people, I have like 20-something leagues, I saw half of them had NS next to him, like not started. So, you know, it's like people who didn't start him would be crying. People that did start him will be happy. And people who are playing against him are probably crying.
See, you guys want an amazing stat?
Yeah. Sure.
So one of the things I'm working on is something I'm calling adjusted wins over replacement. So it's called basically AWARP, and I've tweeted out a couple of things about this. But really, one of the things I look at is the person's starter rate, which is you can find on MFL.
Right.
Their rate of starts basically, and I incorporate that into the wins over replacement data that I've been working with, and it really points to basically what are I call useless weeks, a lot of useless weeks at receiver. And this week, 26.9% of people started Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
So there are 73.1% of people out there that did not start him and basically took that on their bench. So yeah. It's basically one of the most useless big weeks in recent history for a running back.
And he's been so bad based on that means – you know, roughly half the teams in leagues make the playoffs. So right around 24% of the people that are in toilet bowls were like, Derrick Henry's so bad that he can't even start on my non-playoff team.
Yeah, in my home league, the team who has Derrick Henry, he just missed the playoffs. He was almost in the playoffs, but he had a bye in the toilet bowl, so he didn't even get to use Derrick Henry yesterday. And you know what's funny? When you said that about that run where he's like stiff-arming and knocking those guys down, even Todd Gurley, who I love Todd Gurley retweeted it saying that was the run of the year. Like even Todd Gurley was impressed, you know?
It was a great run, and I joked about it in the league where I'm getting eviscerated in. And I've already lost, and you know I've gone up against one player that he basically has paid for second round dynasty or not dynasty, excuse me, second round rookie pick value through next year with that run, because again, people are just going to look at the overall stats at the end of the year and go, oh wow, he's an RB2, and did you see that play? Because you know we like to look at things, but that's what we do as men. We're visual creatures. And that play is going to be in people's heads, and they're going to replay it in their minds. Every time they think about Derrick Henry, they're going to go, but did you see that one time where he ran over everyone and murdered everybody on the way? And just, you know, I obviously that's not hypothetical. What's the word I'm looking for? He didn't really murder people on the way. He didn't OJ people, but you know
oh,
what I mean.
God. Yeah. You know, and you always say how much you hate IDP, but that's something in IDP that happens a lot. It's not so much in offensive players, but a defender will have this amazing game, one game. And then later on when people are going to pick players up, they'd look at who has the most points and people will grab that one guy, but it was only one game. So a lot of people never look at what he did during those weeks that they were playing. They always go for those points. So you're right. At the end of the season, people are going to be going after him. So if you have him, is that your recommendation then? Are you telling people if you have him, trade him when you're well, a lot of leagues aren't trading anymore, but when trading opens again, do you want to get rid of him as soon as possible or what?
Yeah. I mean, based off the fact that the Tennessee coaching staff didn't even want him to be the lead back. They made Deion Lewis the lead back. It's fine. I mean, I liked Derrick Henry, but he's dog shit all season. This is the one game he's had where he's been decent. So I'd trade him. Shit, yes. If someone's going to give me rookie picks are rookie picks, but if someone's willing to give me a second for that guy, they can have him.
Well, Jeremy, what do you think? Because I saw you shaking your head no and all this guy.
I'm only shaking my head, man. I don't. Which time? What are you talking about?
He said that Derrick Henry's dog shit, and both times he said that, you shook your head no both times he said it.
Well, as usual, or I should say as 50% of the time, Shane's wrong. He used to love Derrick Henry, right? He's not dog shit. I think he's been arguably better in that offense as time has gone on. I think they just need to find a way to get a 250-pound, what is he, 6'3", running back on the field. Inside, he clearly runs better than Deion Lewis does and can be a weapon. I think they just got to use the guy. And I think he's been efficient, too, with his attempts. I just think it's a matter of that offense still gelling. I mean, look, Mariota's not having the time of his life. Neither is Corey Davis. There's a lot of problems still in that offense. And I think Derrick Henry will be fine. Is he going to be a running back one? Probably not. But he's not dog shit. Deion Lewis, just I don't like the way they use him in the passing game. I think he looks great. He does well. But I think Derrick Henry is clearly the how do I want to put this? Because he's not better in fantasy football, hasn't been really consistently. But I think he's a better running back for the NFL than Deion Lewis, and I think they got to get him on the field and find a way to use him. Dog shit, that's definitely not the case.
All right,
it's funny.
Harsh.
It's funny, but I think it's a little much.
I'm especially jilted. It's like, you know, when you went out with that girl and she was cute, and then all of a sudden you see her one night. And she's like super hot, and you're like, wait a minute, you never looked like that when we dated.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, one thing that Jeremy brought up was Corey Davis, and I know Jordan and Shane were debating this Corey Davis thing before we started the show.
I guess this goes to the whole perception against what's actually happening. I'm just, you know, I'm to the point, and I don't want to give up on Corey Davis, and it's not Corey Davis that I don't like. I'm getting so tired of these games where he sees three targets, he sees four targets, and he doesn't score for whatever reason. I don't put it on him because I think he's a tremendous wide receiver. I just think Marcus Mariota obviously has had a rough year with a partial paralysis in his arm, which I guess I got to keep telling myself that his quarterback didn't have a throwing arm for a lot of the year. But it just, and I don't have any confidence in the Mike Vrabel offense. I don't know. Talk me down, Jordan, because like I don't want to give up on Corey Davis because I love the kid, but just I'm getting a little tired of waiting.
I get what you're saying in terms of getting tired of waiting, but he's wide receiver 22 right now. Right? I think people are banging on him. I think he's gotten just a terrible draw this year. I mean, if everything that has gone bad, you know, that could have gone bad, has gone bad, it's basically been Corey Davis' season. But at the same time, he's wide receiver 22, and that's probably going to, you know, I suspect that might go up a little bit. And he, you know, I look at his stats, right, and he basically is getting, for most of the season, you know, for the earlier parts of the season, he was getting basically 1.3 PPR points per target, which is just, I mean, historically low. And he's been just that number, to give you an idea, on average this season for wide receivers has been 1.92, right? So he was basically more than a half a point per target below the league average. Now he's up, he has trended up to 1.66, but he's still 14% below the number. And that number is really, it's not really a skill based number. That is a target based number, right? It's a number that's basically across the league in terms of that, and the number regresses to that. And so I expect him to keep improving in terms of his efficiency. And you know, he's trending in the right direction. He's had multiple good weeks recently. And yeah, is the offense great? No, but is he a good player? Yeah. And I think I don't think if you pulled people, I don't think anyone would answer that he's wide receiver 22, just based on perception. But
yeah, they wouldn't know.
But I mean, there's people in front of him like Emmanuel Sanders, who's hurt and going to miss the rest of the season. I mean, it's very possible he finishes with like a top 18 season. And I don't think people give any credit to that right now.
Yeah. For a 2-year guy, that's actually pretty good. And with no other passing options in that offense to throw to. I mean, they could probably triple cover Corey Davis and still not worry about anything but the running backs. I mean, there's nobody to throw to. They have Jonnu Smith. They lost Delanie Walker. They've got how do you say his name? Sharp. They've got Jennings, Taywan Taylor, who's okay. Darius Jennings, Cameron Batson. They have the running backs. They throw the ball a lot to Deion Lewis, and they used to use the tight ends. I don't even know what that offense is all about, but I'm still going to give it time and let that gel and let the offensive coordinator, you know, get that offense in tip-top shape, hopefully. But I have, yeah, man, that's your boy. You can't give up on Corey Davis. You have to be patient, man. It's year two, right? I mean, when do wide receivers break out?
Yeah, no, and again, definitely generally not Davis. Davis isn't the issue at all, not even a little bit. I think Davis is, you know, same thing with Amari Cooper when I kept saying he's really good. He's really good. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. And it's same thing with Davis completely. And, you know, just looking at some of the stats on it, like his catchable target rate is not very good. So he's not even being thrown good balls. So, yeah, I mean, it's completely understandable that he's been underwhelming. It's just, it's so frustrating, and it's.
Don't you own them in every league you're in?
Just about a third of them. And if I probably, I tried to own them in more, but I couldn't. It just, you know, I guess it's that visceral reaction watching last night when they're targeting guys that I didn't even know were playing football instead of Corey Davis. I just want him to be, I want him to get the looks that DeAndre Hopkins was getting, like, you know, target this guy 30% and on a more high volume offense, because I don't need 30% of 20 passes. I want 30% of 30.
And I want Derrick Henry to get the volume that Luke Stocker gets at the goal line. That's all I'm asking.
Well, you know, Jordan and Jeremy both mentioned some people on the injury list here that we were going to discuss. But before we go into the injuries, let's hear from our sponsor, GTBets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to GTBets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. GTBets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to GTBets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
Oh, yeah, so definitely go gamble. Gambling's good for you, in case anyone wasn't aware. You know what sucks in football?
What?
Injuries. You know what sucks in fantasy football?
Injuries.
Yeah, still injuries. Come on, guys. Focus.
Thanks, Jeremy.
So what you want to do next year, you know, if you didn't make the playoffs this year and it's because you had Leonard Fournette who decided to take a sabbatical because his hamstrings are made of, I don't know, macaroni noodle. Or if you lost some other players, what you want to do next year is you want to get RotoSurance on them.
Yes, go to RotoSurance.com, RotoSurance.com, and you'll get 20% off if you use the code DynastyTradesHQ, all in caps, as if like Shane was yelling it like he does, you know, put in DynastyTradesHQ.
Shane. And it's not yelling. I have an auditory problem.
okay.
As soon as your startup drafts are done, or your even if you play redraft for some reason, as soon as those drafts are done next year, jump on RotoSurance and make sure you use our code, save some money, help support the pod and all that good stuff. And RotoSurance brings us our injury reports of the week.
Yeah. Now Jordan mentioned Emmanuel Sanders and Jeremy mentioned Jonnu Smith, because today they announced that Jonnu Smith is out for the year as well. So let's go back to Emmanuel Sanders. He tore his Achilles.
Blew his Achilles as a 32-year-old wide receiver in what month are we in? December?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you can pretty much say that we're not going to see any or much of him in 2019. I'm not a doctor, but I know that an Achilles injury to a wide receiver, not good.
So is it now Sutton and Deshaun? Is that what they're going to go with next year as well as the rest of this year? Or what's going to happen there?
But yeah, this was their redshirt year. This was the year everyone, well, at least I was hoping to be able to scoop both players up, you know, for fairly low, because they wouldn't have done anything this year. But unfortunately, Sutton forced them to trade Demaryius Thomas, and now Deshaun's going to get the flash a little bit. But you know who popped in my head today? Because if he didn't act like a raging asshole, he'd have a job right now. Carlos Henderson.
Oh, my God. That's what popped into your head?
Well, because, you know, I just, you know, this is – and if Carlos Henderson didn't basically go AWOL in the summer, he'd be a starting NFL receiver come next week. And the reason he went AWOL is because they drafted two receivers, you know, that were going to jump ahead of him in the depth chart. But if you would have just had a little patience, like I should exhibit towards Corey Davis, see, it all comes full circle. He'd have a starting job next week.
What do you think, Jordan?
Not about Carlos Henderson. No one cares about him.
No, nobody cares about Carlos Henderson.
Well, I mean, it's not a good sign for Emmanuel Sanders' future. I can say that. I mean, his age and the injury, I mean, those two things, it basically saps his dynasty value to me. But I think, I mean, Cortland Sutton's a fascinating conversation because I think people project him to be an alpha number one. And I don't know about you guys. I had questions about him coming out. I had questions about, you know, some of his abilities on the field. I thought he was a fine physical talent, but I'm not certain that I was in love with his tape, with his route running. I thought he was a raw player in terms of what he did on tape. But, and so he slides into the mid second, right? And but people right now, I mean, he's in the top 45 of startup ADP in the month of November. I haven't seen the December stuff come out yet, but I feel like his price is going to get out of control. And when you look at receivers, I mean, there's a massive difference in terms of what you can expect out of round two wide receivers compared to round one wide receivers in the NFL. And so that sort of gives me pause. I mean, Kenny Galladay is a similar conversation with that. I think people are proclaiming him to be an alpha number one, and I just have a lot of pause when you are not a round one guy, because we see where teams go for elite wide receivers. It's in round one of the draft. And, yeah. And I mean, over half of them, you know, I looked at the stat, I think it was last year, and it was something like 66% of them had receivers on basically rookie contracts that were round one guys. I mean, that is a huge number. And even more when you consider you had guys like Julio Jones and stuff like that, who were basically lead receivers who were round one, that weren't on their rookie contract. So I just look at all that and I say, I mean, I like Cortland Sutton, but I think you gotta be careful about spending that type of price. Him and Galladay are similar in that sense to me.
Yeah, Shane put up some fists when you mentioned Galladay. That was why I chuckled there. But I did see some trades. I mean, we get messages on Twitter at Dynasty Trades HQ, and people were asking what they should trade Cortland Sutton for, or what they should send out to get Cortland Sutton. And what do you think, Jeremy, with that? What are you going to give for him, or what are you going to trade him away for?
I think what we've said on here for a long time, you know, he has a great opportunity there. He was raw. I think he can become a wide receiver one type player, but he, like Jordan said, he has a lot to learn, but he's one of those converted basketball players. I mean, that guy was raw. I mean, he wasn't Auden Tate raw. He could run more than one route, but I mean, he ran a couple of routes and there were knocks on him coming out. But as far as the athleticism and the MO, I think he brings to the table. Yeah, I mean, I give him a shot to be a wide receiver one, but this show is all about values, and you guys know I'm all about values, finding them. He was a value when you got him in the second round of your rookie draft. He's not a value probably now. Like, Galladay's not a value now. You're not the return on investment is going to maybe be even on guys like that. So yeah, I think Jordan's spot on there. I still like him a lot. I was a little bit sad that we didn't get to see Kelvin Benjamin in Denver. When he was released, I was like, hey, you know, what team's he going to sign with? I just pictured him run at a mile high, you know, with Whataburger in town and the legalization of pot there. I was like, this is just the perfect storm for Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah, how can you run in the mile high city at that height and weight? I mean, that guy's built like a linebacker. He's bigger than most linebackers.
Well, he should be a linebacker because he can't catch. He sucks.
He plays at half speed. It's crazy.
I
watch their games every week for football guys, uh-huh. The Bills games, uh-huh. And my God, he doesn't. I mean, there's multiple interceptions that are just on him being lazy this year.
I cannot stand that guy, and I couldn't believe that he got claimed off waivers. Right, the Chiefs claimed him. Right.
Well, that brings us to one of my favorite players. Who is, of course, cursed with a bad foot. Sammy Watkins out 4 to 6 weeks,
right,
with a foot injury.
Yep.
And if you know Sammy Watkins' injury history, he did have not the Liz Frank. I can't think of it. A Jones fracture. Geez, what was that? 3 years ago now? At least two. So basically, he's at the point where a Jones fracture should have been completely healed. Like, everyone knows that basically that first year off of it, it's not right, but he's well past that point, and now he's having foot problems again, which is really concerning. He's what, 26 years old.
Yeah. There's your guy to give up on and lose your patience.
Yeah. That's a guy, you know, mostly basketball players I've seen with foot injuries that are just debilitating and guys can't basically play. And man, it feels like it's going that way with Sammy Watkins, because like I said, he had the Jones fracture. He got past that initial, you know, phase of it where you knew it wasn't going to be right for a little bit. And he got past that and you thought, okay, he's good. He didn't get injured. I don't, you know, if he got a rib, I don't care. It's not his foot.
We were well past the foot.
Yeah. We were well past that point. And for his foot to be acting up again, that's just, that's frightening.
It is crazy. So, it's crazy that he's had all these injuries and he's on his third team, but we all still sit back and go, but it's Sammy Watkins. He can do it this year, you know? And it just, it always seems that he lets everybody down. He came out with Mike Evans, right? It was that draft year where in that rookie drafts, people were like Mike Evans, Sammy Watkins were like 1 and 2, weren't they that year?
Yeah. And so the thing about Sammy is I think he's as talented as any wide receiver in the league. If it's a very important if he could stay on the field, you know, there's not just the fact that you're missing games. There's people might poo-poo this because this is narrative driven. But, you know, you do build a relationship with your quarterback when you play games with them. They know they can trust you in situations and they're more apt to go to you in those situations when they've done it in the past. And when you're out every three games, it's hard to build any kind of relationship.
Well, and so also being on three different teams too, you know, keeps changing teams.
I'm not as heavy on Sammy as I used to be in my leagues, but and I know the hit rate on second round rookie picks is not high, but if someone will give me a second for him and I can use it later, I'm fine with that at this point. Just, I can't do it to myself anymore. I can't do it. I can't. Yeah.
So then when you, to go full circle, like you say, you brought this up because of Kelvin Benjamin signing with the Chiefs. Is he going to do anything with the Chiefs? Like Jordan said too, I don't think he's a very good wide receiver at all. So I don't have any hope for him at the Chiefs. And I like what Jordan wrote when, Adam Schefter said that they picked up another weapon. And Jordan, you said something about we're using the word weapon very loosely.
Yes.
What do you think about him?
I love to bet on receivers, especially receivers, but receivers and quarterbacks and really tight ends that have high pedigree that sort of fall in price. Like that is a historically good bet. So, I mean, we've seen that with guys like Eric Ebron this year, right? You just bet on the, you know, if they're a first round pick, you bet when their price goes way down, you invest in them. I just have a hard time doing that with Kelvin Benjamin. Like I've watched him I don't think it's a talent related reason. Like I just think that there was multiple routes this past week, and I actually put out on Twitter that I absolutely ragged on him on Twitter because I said he's just the worst influence for a rookie quarterback. I have seen things the Josh Allen conversation is fascinating to me. It's a fascinating watch. If you haven't watched Josh Allen, like you should just watch it. But seeing Kelvin Benjamin play with him, like he wasn't finishing routes. He got Josh Allen picked off once. He should have gotten him picked off a second time. Like he was playing at about 40% of his capacity. And you know, who knows what was going on in his mind or in the locker room or whatever, but I have a hard time with him as a player. I'm glad the Bills caught him because I think it was holding back their team.
Yeah, I have Josh Allen in a couple leagues, including the listener league. And I do know what there was one play this week, like you say, where you see Kelvin Benjamin just completely stop running. He stopped and then the ball was thrown there and he wasn't anywhere near where he should have been. And he didn't even try. And I agree. Yeah. I can't stand that guy.
Well, there's some players. You have to, even if you're talented, you have to try. You have to try. You just have to. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not very analytical, but if you don't even put an attempt out, it doesn't matter how physically talented you are. You're not going to succeed. And if this guy who is basically playing for a contract, he's a free agent after this year. If he's not even going to try in his free agency year, what in the world makes anyone think that he's ever going to try? Like, maybe it's the losing, but he was in a winning situation in Carolina and they got rid of him, which, and I'm going to assume it was probably for some of the same issues. You know, I don't feel like I'm back and watching any Kelvin Benjamin tape, but I'm going to assume it was for the same issue.
I give any receiver in Buffalo the benefit of the doubt, especially when they leave Buffalo, because including Sammy Watkins, Kelvin Benjamin, because that's where wide receivers go to die. They've proven that they can ruin anybody and keep anybody from succeeding at that position. But yeah, Kelvin Benjamin,
I would like to pick Jordan's brain, because he, I forgot that he writes about the Bills for the football guys. Robert Foster or Zay Jones. Player. I don't want to get into a lot of Zay Jones because he was a contentious issue around the podcast world, and I really don't give a shit about that, to be quite honest with you. But is there anything there with Zay Jones and or Robert Foster?
So he likes to run around naked. I don't really care.
I don't think Zay Jones is a great fit for what Josh Allen wants to do, but I think Robert Foster is. I mean, if I was given the Bills, they're not going to listen to me, obviously, but if I was given the Bills advice, I would say, give me like 6 Robert Fosters. Like, let's just spread the field out, get a bunch of guys that can run sub 4.4. And I don't care if they're day 3 undrafted, whatever. I mean, there are guys there, multiple guys that are sub 4.45 that were like day 3 or undrafted guys in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And it creates so much space that, I mean, Josh Allen's going to miss a ton, right? He's going to miss a ton, but if they can get a lot of space open, down the field over the top of defenses with just spreading the field out, and he sort of runs, it's a good fit, and it's not going to be pretty. Like, it's not, like I said, it's fascinating to watch, but it's not ideal. But I think Foster's a good fit. Again, does he hang around because he's just a low pedigree guy when they try and come in the offseason and add some weapons? I mean, that's sort of the danger you have with any of those guys. And my sort of analytics would back that up. I mean, the hit rate on day 3 guys is 5%. And I think Foster was undrafted. So you're even lower than that. You know, it's a term. But I think that he's a good fit for their offense, but if I could flip him for like a second, I don't think he's probably going that expensive, but I would be in the position I would want to move up in a rookie draft, using him as a player.
Would you get rid of Zay Jones if you had him?
I think Zay Jones has been great this year compared to last year. I think he's been markedly improved. I think he's been, the question I have is the fit, right? He's more of a chain mover. So when Nathan Peterman and Barkley and Derek Anderson were the quarterbacks, he was moving the chains. He was seeing a lot of targets on third downs. He was doing a lot of those type of things. He's not a great fit for Josh Allen because Josh Allen wants to throw the ball vertically. I mean, he leads the league in by not a close margin in attempted air yards per throw. And that's not really Zay Jones's game, although he did get deep a couple times last week. It's not really where he succeeds, but I think he's been better than – he's been significantly better than last year. So I actually like Zay Jones as a deeper stash. I mean, is he a difference maker in fantasy? Probably not, but I actually like how his career is progressing.
Well, you know, we talk about trash dynasty trade offers and then trade alerts and everything. One that I was thinking of was unfortunate trades, because Shane, I saw that on Friday morning you traded away Zay Jones for Colt McCoy in the Listener League. and I was going to bring it up sometime during the show, but it seems like this is a perfect time to bring it up.
He went out and immediately broke his fucking leg in 86 places.
And Zay Jones had his highest score of the year.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if it was even just a normal super flex, I wouldn't make that trade. But in a 16-team super flex with, Mitch Trubisky, basically there wasn't a lot of positive indicators, even though now it looks like he's going to play. But I was nervous enough to go, oh, shit, I might have to go in the playoffs with Carson Wentz and Jeff Driskel. And, look, I like Colt McCoy's rushing ability. And unfortunately, I believe it was on a run that he broke his leg. But he was running for his life. And and then he broke his leg. So I got I did not get a lot of utility out of him. He sat on my bench for one game, and now he's probably never going to play again.
Yeah, that's why I said unfortunate trades. And I was going to bring it up here, I guess, during the injuries with the Colt McCoy. Sorry about that. But hey, the other
– thanks for bringing that up, man, because I completely forgot about that, to be honest with you.
And that's why I didn't rehashing that. That's why I didn't put it on the show sheet either. I wanted to throw it out there for you. The last one we had, which is a big one, and the main reason to bring it up is what people should do with it value-wise is, you know, AJ Green is now done for the year. So what do you guys doing with AJ Green in dynasty leagues? Getting rid of him, trading for him, holding on to him? What do you think his value is now?
I mean, I think his value is the same. I wouldn't trade him now simply because he is out for the rest of the year unless somebody gave me a hell of a deal. I'm going to keep him hold him till next year and try to get something, something better for him than I could get right now. He's one of my favorite players as far as his consistency and, I still think he can play. You know, he's not Brandon Marshall, washed up kind of old guy, right? He's got some tread left on those tires. And so I'm going to keep him until his value goes up. I don't see any reason to part with him right now.
Shane.
And I like him, so I'm going to keep him. Yeah.
Shane, you holding on to him or what are you doing with him?
Yeah, I think you're at that point of AJ Green's career where he's going to die on your roster unless you're willing to sell low on him. Because, you know, look, we're all ageists. He's almost 30, or if he's not 30, he's coming off a significant injury, which I don't even know we know the full extent of it yet, right? It's something bad with his toe. Which, again, for a feet for wide receivers are fairly important. I put them up there with hands. So it's not good, but you can't sell him coming off the injury. And Dynasty being what it is, we love our young, beautiful things, and he's not young and beautiful anymore. He's kind of old and a little weathered, so just let him die on your roster and get the production you get out of him, which was, you know, I believe wide receiver one value when he was actually playing this year.
I saw Jordan shaking his head. You agree with that, Jordan?
I mean, when you look at wide receivers, I think age is an overstated factor in wide receivers. And what I mean by that is, especially with guys like AJ Green, who are high NFL draft picks, who are elite wide receiver ones, those guys tend to play into their early to mid 30s, and they aren't significantly less productive, right? Their production doesn't really go down. What I think does happen, and what my research for my book has really borne out, is what happens at that age is you basically hit an age cliff, and it's the non-elite players. It's the guys who are non-elite athletes that weren't elite picks that tend to whittle away. And so that's really where the cliff hits. It's not that players get less productive. It's that players sort of weed out of the league. So with a guy like AJ Green, as long as he's healthy, which it looks like from, I think, Dr. Chow, who, if you guys don't follow his work, he's fantastic. Pro Football Doc. He's got a podcast as well. I mean, it's fantastic information, but
he chimes in on every injury and tells you based on the film what he already thinks, and he's hardly ever wrong on the extent. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Fantastic. And I think if I'm not mistaken, he had put out information that he expected AJ Green to be back for OTAs. So with all of that being said, I mean, AJ Green's dipped to basically the end of third rounds in startup drafts, which it's in terms of the receivers that are going there, it's certainly an intriguing value consideration, because over the next 3 years, I mean, I think that he has a good projected stat line and those sorts of things going forward. I mean, I would, he's safer than people that are going over him, like Kenny Galladay for sure.
Yeah. Consistent. Yeah.
It's funny. Every time you take a jab at Kenny Galladay, Shane kind of winces a little bit, you know?
No, I'm a fan of Kenny Galladay, but if AJ Green's on the field and playing, well, clearly I'd rather have AJ Green because I'm not stupid. Well, I might be stupid, but I know how to look at numbers and know which ones are higher. Yeah.
He's taking pretty good care of himself too. I mean, he's going to be 31 in July, so the beginning of next season. But I mean, that guy, he doesn't really look like, you know, doesn't carry himself or look like an older receiver still. I'm going to bank on that, perception, because, I mean, that doesn't really matter a lot. That's just the eye test. But I mean, just doesn't look old yet, I guess.
Well,
it's just going to be another offseason of, where the smart play is trading late round firsts and second round picks and trying to acquire some of these older gentlemen like
more sure thing.
Or Renthiel James. That's not his name. It's something A. I forget what it stands for. AJ.
I'm like, what is he talking about? What
AJ? AJ's initials.
It's like Aurelius or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's AJ Green. Yeah.
Well, before we get on to our trade, let's hear from our sponsors, the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
You know, now's actually, not that there's ever a bad time, now's actually a great time to go to the Scouting Academy because, you know, it's coming up. It's bowl season. It's the Shrine Bowl, East-West game, Army-Navy, some other bowls, Senior Bowl. Then we got the Combine where every one of us is an amateur scout and we all act like we know the difference between a 4.41 and a 4.41.8. There's no point there. That's not how numbers work. Anyway, so guess what?
What?
Trade alert.
So go to the Scouting Academy. Great. What's a trade alert? I actually see you have a topic for tonight's trade alert.
So I've actually done this in the past, and I know you don't pay attention to much of what I say or do, which probably is for the best.
exactly.
But this week's topic is dumping Hunt.
Yes.
So I owned Kareem Hunt in 5 leagues. I still own him in 2 leagues now. And the only reason I own him in those 2 leagues is because there's trade deadlines.
Yeah, it's funny, Jordan. We usually go through some of this stuff, and a lot of times it's all Shane's trades. So that's why there is 3 Kareem Hunt trades there. But I did add one that happened in my league yesterday. But all right, Shane, so what did you get for Kareem Hunt in these 3 trades where you traded Kareem Hunt away?
All righty. Well, let's see. I'm going to do these in the least fun and then the most fun, I think. Yeah, so there was the Kareem Hunt for the 110 through 114 to be determined, and the 2.7 in a super flex league.
It's funny, if you didn't say the to be determined, it sounded like you got 4 firsts and a second for him.
that would be a lot even in circumstances that don't presently exist. And
I want to say right now, before you go through all the 3 of these, that, you know, we always say whether we're on your side or not on your side, but my opinion and whatever that's worth, I would have traded Kareem Hunt for any one of these things. I would be perfectly fine getting rid of him off my team. You know, I get the whole, oh, I'm really sorry. I've never done anything like this before, but whatever. And the way the world is and the way the NFL is, it's going to be quite a long time before he gets another chance to play. So I'm all on your side for every one of these trades. But with that one, yeah, I would take a first and a second for him, even if it is a late first.
Yeah, and we don't need everyone's confirmation on all of these. I know I won these because he's off my team. But there's also, and I was listening to, I believe, the DLF podcast, and I think it was Ryan McDowell or maybe it was Matt Price. I forget who it was, but one of them mentioned, like, you know, there's a chance we don't ever see Kareem Hunt in the league again.
Exactly.
Because we just found out this wasn't a one-time thing. He also beat someone's ass several months before and then several months after this.
See, it's such bullshit. So, he should not be back in the league. And I also think that Foster shouldn't be in the league, but whatever. So what were the other 2 trades you did?
Foster.
Reuben Foster, you know, he beat up, you know, and then the Redskins took him off of, you know, after he got cut. But so what are your other 2 trades?
All right. Next. And this is the one that, like, basically cemented my status, or at least my belief that, oh shit, everyone does really hate Kareem Hunt now, and this is happening. So I actually traded in a Superflex league, again, because you should only play in Superflex leagues, people. I traded Kareem Hunt for Josh Allen, who's been the subject of much discussion today, straight up in a Superflex league. And I did poll it because when I got the offer, I was like, I don't know that this is enough. Josh Allen won 54% of the vote with 316 votes.
That's
Josh
it?
Josh Allen over Kareem Hunt.
54% is all?
Well, here's the thing. When I got the offer, I thought it would be like 70 to 30 the other way.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. No, I'm surprised that it was that close, 54%. Is this also the poll that where I don't remember who it was, but somebody suggested that you should change your avatar to Josh Allen, and then like a bunch of people were laughing about it, that you should have that moving GIF of Josh Allen?
It's called doing the floss. Pop up. He was flossing.
Pop up. Yeah, well, that is the line then. Yeah, no, listen, I think it should have been more than 54%. And what's your third one? The last one you got.
This is my favorite. Okay. Because then I actually did stuff with other stuff, which is always the funnest stuff. I didn't hide it to anyone. I was basically like, people make offers on Kareem Hunt. There's a good chance you are going to have that offer accepted. So I traded Kareem Hunt and Chris Warren, who I think I'm actually a little more upset about than I had to trade, for the 1-6 in a Superflex league. Then I took that 1-6 and I believe it's 108 at the moment. Yeah, it's 108 at the moment because I'm in the playoffs. For Brandon Cooks, our boy. It's like I knew, and I think what's weird is this is before I knew Jordan was coming on. It's all very odd.
I was going to say that definitely you like to wrap things up in a little bow. And back in August, Jeremy, when we had Jordan on back in August, we did a Patreon show afterwards where we did a draft with Jordan. It was me, Shane, and Jordan. And Jordan gave us some interesting information about Brandon Cooks, which Shane immediately turned around and made a bunch of trades to get Brandon Cooks. But so you essentially traded Kareem Hunt, Chris Warren, and the 108 for Brandon Cooks.
And it's a playoff roster, and obviously I needed to fill a significant scoring hole that had just occurred on my team because of a running back that typically put up 20 to 30 points being the out of the NFL.
Jordan,
what do you think about this, Jordan? I know you're not a practicing attorney. because if you listen to UTH, you will hear a lot of times Chad and Tim or Katie mention that for legal stuff, they tend to go to Jordan.
Okay, so Jordan, what do you think?
I did on my YouTube channel, on my Analytics of Dynasty YouTube channel, I did a whole breakdown on Kareem Hunt and what I thought about sort of the legal side of it. It didn't shock me that he was suspended. It didn't shock me any of that stuff in terms of how it went with the commissioner's exempt list. I wasn't surprised that he was cut, and I wasn't surprised that no one picked him up on waivers. What I thought interested me most about the whole Kareem Hunt situation is that the chief said that the reason they cut him was because he lied. And if you think about sort of what that in the context of everything that we know about Kansas City, everything we know about Andy Reid, the people that he has sort of quote unquote forgiven, Michael Vick, Tyreek Hill are two big examples with checkered past that he has taken under his wing and sort of developed, and everything that we know about his Andy Reid's family situation, how he sort of treats his players and sort of he gives people forgiveness.
Right.
That's a key landing spot for folks that have problems like Kareem Hunt's. So the fact that he's gone from there, and that sort of rules out him landing with a franchise that would be generally okay with this. Not okay with this, but that would forgive this and sort of work for it. Not saying that it's okay, but that accept him. I think that's concerning, I guess, I just look around how many landing spots are there, clear landing spots where he can be a 1A. And there's Baltimore, I'm just looking around, like Cincinnati would be a roster that would seem to fit him in terms of accepting his baggage. And, they've got Mixon, right? I mean, I just look around and I wonder where he could land on his feet, where has anywhere near the same role that he had, considering it's a good time for running backs in the NFL. There's just not a ton of jobs that looked like Kansas City. So I guess if anything, that's a concern to me. I think he gets another shot. And I would be aggressive if I had to give up a late first to get him, I would do it.
I'd like to see him in Houston.
That would certainly be interesting. That's a great spot. I hadn't thought of that one.
The problem is, even with him, you know, who knows what would exactly happen if a team did take him? But wouldn't he end up getting facing a suspension anyways? So, like, say a team takes him, and then he's going to get suspended for what he has. So you're going to talk about this gap of time before he even plays. It just seems to me that no team's going to take him, at least right now. Maybe 6 months from now, after the off season, maybe somebody takes a shot. You know,
all of 2019. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just sat on Le'Veon Bell for a full season.
Yeah, but
in a couple leagues. Well, what I'm saying is, even if Kareem Hunt has to sit out the entire, like Jeremy was alluding to, if he has to sit out the full 2019 season, he's still only going to be 24, 25 years old come 2020. And yeah, if you can buy him cheap, and look, if you knew right now that basically he was going to sign with the team and miss the entirety of the 2019 season, shit, I'd be all in on him. You know what I mean? Because at least I'd have some closure and I know what's going on.
But you don't know that. So I agree with the whole thing about being able to get rid of him. If you can find somebody that is willing to be that person that you are saying, oh, I'll take the shot, then I would say trade him, you know?
Yeah, and I'm just basing that off the amount of incidents that he's had. Like I said, if it was a one-time event, like Joe Mixon's thing, I would have looked at it, said it's a one-time occurrence. People do horrible things, whatever, but he did it once. Once you start beating multiple people up that we know of, mind you, and this kid's probably been doing it since high school because he's been a pampered superstar, whatever. But we know of three incidents. That's enough for me.
And that's why I say he shouldn't be back. But, you know, who knows? And then the trade, you know, those were your three trades. The trade that happened in one of my leagues yesterday was somebody traded Kareem Hunt for Tariq Cohen straight up is what they did. And I would do that if I was able to do that.
How about you, Jordan? Would you do Tariq Cohen? Because that's, I mean, valuation is Tariq Cohen, what, a late first round rookie pick? He's not, he can't be worth more than that, can he?
No, I don't think he's worth more than that. Maybe he might be worth a mid first round rookie pick. I don't know. I'm an upside guy, right? So I would rather. Have my roster with guys that I think can make a huge difference than guys like Tariq Cohen. And not saying that Tariq Cohen can't make a big difference, but I just would rather, when push comes to shove on a trade and it's to choose between two different players, one of them who I think can win a week for me and one of them who I'm not convinced that can do that, I'm going to take the guy that can win a week. So even if it's risky, I'm willing to take a swing on Hunt. I'd probably take Hunt over Cohen.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, a good attorney could probably spin this thing, depending on what comes out of those other incidents and how little legal trouble. I mean, if there's a lot of legal problems that come from it, then different story. But if legally, in the eyes of the law, not too much happens to him, I think a decent attorney can spin that and he can be on a team again. And, you know, it won't. Over 6 months, this guy was a real asshole. But outside of that, you know, he wasn't. I don't know how you'd deal with that, but.
And yeah,
and playing.
Yeah, just one note on that. I would be just there's a couple of narratives that go around anytime someone gets in trouble, which is the 6-game suspension rule for domestic violence. That's not in play here. So just so if you see that 6-game number, I'm skeptical of that number. And the reason why is this is not a domestic violence case. This is a case between a man and a woman, and that is not domestic violence. So the domestic violence rule in the NFL, and I studied it a lot when the whole Zeke situation happened. It's a domestic violence rule. It is not a man on woman violence rule. Okay. So those are two different things. And so I would be skeptical of that 6-game number rule because I think people are just throwing that around because, oh, it's a Zeke situation. It's not the Zeke situation. And I would also note he's on the exempt list right now, so he's going to miss the rest of – I suspect he's going to miss the rest of the season. I think that probably factors into whatever suspension he gets. So
part of it.
Oh, so what, it's like time served?
He's missing games, right? I mean, he will miss games right now because he's on the exempt list. That will probably factor in some way. At least it did a little bit to Adrian in the Adrian Peterson case from when he had the abuse against his children back in 2014. So,
but was AP and, was AP cut though? I don't remember now.
He was put on the exempt list, and then he was suspended for basically.
Yeah, because Hunt is he's on the exempt list, but he's not on a team. So you know,
no, but they still factor that in. They definitely. Do because they know that the reason he's not signed immediately beyond the PR bullshit, because whatever, but beyond the PR bullshit, the reason he's not on a roster is because whoever signs him knows that he's not going to play. So if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, which I think is a great landing spot for him, and who have a history of, you know, showing compassion towards people and showing that, hey, this can, people can turn a corner, you know, with Michael Vick, because it was also Jeffrey Lurie that was part of that, even though Andy Reid back then? That was probably the driving force. I don't remember, but it was definitely Jeffrey Lurie as the owner. But, you know, if he could play this year, I guarantee you there's some team that would have said, you know what, we'll take the PR hit. And honestly, all you need to do, I mean, look, from the Hunt, his side of it is, his agent, whoever he is, do you just get him to some anger management classes? You be proactive, man. You go to, look, Roger Goodell, I went to anger management classes. I recognized I have an issue. I'm going to abuse shelters, even though it's not domestic violence, but even, you know, people are kind of intertwining those things. You do all that PR stuff that,
yeah, exactly what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wants is good PR, man. Just do it. Just do it, and your suspension will be lessened to like 2 games.
I did see somebody retweet the little video he did on ESPN where they said he needs a better PR guy, because in that interview on ESPN, she asked if he was doing anger management stuff, and he said yes. And she said, oh, you're in the anger management? And then he goes, well, they're looking into it for me right now. So it's like he didn't even say that he was doing it. He said they were looking into it.
Anytime someone says anger management, I think of that damn Adam Sandler movie. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think of the TV show with Charlie Sheen.
I think of me.
You think of you.
My brother was a regular on that show with Charlie Sheen, Anger Management. It was a good show. So some of that is kind of a heavy situation, and unfortunately, Kareem Hunt puts us in that kind of situation that we have to talk about. But, you know, listen, that was what we had for the show today. And Jordan, we're really happy to have you back. You know, thanks for being here. And I know you have a lot going on. And, you know, we appreciate you being here back in August for our Patreon. You know, we did that little draft that we did on the Patreon. I know, Shane, you wanted to do a rookie mock for the Patreons. Is that something that we're doing?
Yeah. So I just, as usual, I went ahead and decided that we're going to do something, and didn't tell you guys.
Yeah, because Jeremy's shaking his head. Yeah, we didn't know, but go ahead.
Yeah. just a little behind the scenes today, I get a DM, or I got a text from either Jeremy or Michael going,
it was
Shane, I saw a tweet that we're doing a patrons-only 2019 rookie mock draft. Basically. So yeah, we're going to do, just for our patrons, cause I like them more than other people. and they deserve better things. We're going to go ahead and we want to do a rookie mock draft. We're going to start it, hopefully next week. It's going to be 2019 Superflex, of course, because we're big boys and we wear our big boy pants. So we're going to do that. Yeah. Next week, just the patrons, get a little early mock drafting going, because you could never start talking about rookies soon enough.
Yeah, so if you want to check that out, go join our Patreon account.
Also, and I also dropped a couple articles for patrons this week, just about some players that you should not exactly target, but players that you should look to get added into a trade as smaller pieces, guys I like to call throw-ins. So become a patron because it's worth it. It's a couple tiers. You do $1, $3, $5, whatever, you know, throw some money. We'd appreciate it. We work hard for you. We do good stuff. Like we give away a strategy session and a analytics of Dynasty book from the great Jordan McNamara.
And that's a great way to wrap it up with Jordan. So Jordan, thank you for being on the show. And is there anything you want to plug or talk about before you go?
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Enjoy coming on. You can, like we talked about the book, you can pre-order the book, analyticsofdynasty.com. There's a couple different options. There's one with a strategy session. There's one just the book. The book will be out in later part of January. You can read up on it while you're craving some Dynasty content before startup season really gets into it in the off season. And hopefully you'll have some more efficient drafts and really just work on some more efficient ways to team build. So analyticsofdynasty.com. You can follow me on Twitter at McNamara Dynasty.
Yeah, and that could
be to reading that book, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
And that could be a good holiday gift, you know, go out there and get it for yourself or get it for your friends. Or, you know, what else is a good gift too, Shane? Our store. There's so much stuff at our store that you can get.
Stuff in our store. Yeah. Buy stuff in our store too. Look.
Buy stuff in our store too.
You know what kids really want for Christmas?
That's awesome. I'm doing it. I'm sold.
Kids, you know, you think kids want toys, but you should have seen the looks on my children's faces for Hanukkah when that second night they opened up their Hanukkah present and they got skull caps, Dynasty HQ, Dynasty Trade HQ skull caps. It was stunned. It was like amazed. I think it was a happy stunned, definitely a happy stunned.
You got to tweet that out so people could see your kids wearing Dynasty Trade HQ hats.
Very excited. So don't forget, it's Hanukkah is actually going to be over by the time everyone else listens to this. But if you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, Three Kings Day, I don't care. Just go buy some stuff. We got the coolest logo in the game and it looks awesome on clothes. So go get it. You get some tights. Put it, you know, HQ on the little side there, and it'll look hot on your girl.
Yeah,
whatever you're into, I don't care.
The leggings are awesome. Yeah, so go over to dthq.storeenvy.com, and you can grab all that stuff. And check out our Twitter account, which is at Dynasty Trades HQ. You can send us your polls, your questions. You can DM Shane. He'll answer your questions.
No, you can't. You can DM me if you're a patron. Stop jumping in my DMs if you're not a patron, guys. I don't mean to be mean, but you know, that's reserved for the folks that are patrons.
That, and also he will answer your questions if you go to iTunes and give us a rate and review, he'll help you out there, because we all know how that makes him happy. And check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. You'll find all our articles, all our rankings.
We're up to 70 reviews. 5 more reviews on iTunes, and I'm giving away $25 credit to our store. Where's that store, Mike?
dthq.storeenvy.com. And hey, maybe by next week, which, by the way, guys, is our one-year anniversary. Next week is our one-year anniversary. Maybe we'll get that 75th review before our one-year show.
Happy anniversary, guys. Next week, it's going to be a special party.
Yeah.
Shane's going to be there.
So, yeah, maybe we'll have something else to celebrate besides our 1 year. So, great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.
Shabbat shalom, bitches.